We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn to the book of Isaiah. We'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Word of God here is talking, it depends on how you look at this passage of Scripture. Some believe that it's talking specifically about Isaiah. Others believe that it only has reference to Jesus Christ. I personally believe that it had reference to Isaiah. I believe that it is a prophecy about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I believe it also applies to God's called servants. I believe that all of us have the work to do that is described in this passage of Scripture. Of course, it's Jesus that does anything and everything. If you have ever been able to do anything that was right and good, it's always been God working in you and enabling you. You have never done anything that was honoring and glorifying to God without the help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read now from Isaiah chapter 61. I would like to read the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61. The Word of God here is going to talk about you being trees. I told Will during the afternoon, or one of the grandchildren, I was sitting there, and I told him, I said, I'm going to preach tonight. One of them had asked what I was going to try to preach about, and I said, I'm going to try to preach about you being a tree. And he said, I'm not a tree. But listen, brethren, the Word of God, in many places, the Word of God compares the people of God to trees. He compares us to a branch in a vine. He calls us the planting or the vineyard of the Lord. So the Word of God calls the people of God trees. Sometimes we're good trees. Sometimes we're bad trees. Sometimes we're trees that bring forth bad fruit. And when that happens, then that tree can be cut down and cast into the fire. Other times we're trees that are struggling to bring forth any kind of fruit at all. And we need some work, and we need somebody to dig about us and dung us and water us, and we need some increase of fruit production. And then other times, God's people are trees that are just full of fruit. And remember that the purpose of fruit bearing, always the purpose of bearing fruit, is to honor and glorify God. When we bear fruit, God is honored and glorified. And that's a great privilege and a blessing to be able to bear fruit. You would never be a tree of righteousness if God did not help you and bless you. Reading now from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." He's going to list about 9 or 10 different things here that God has sent him to do. And I believe that God has sent most all of us to do these same kinds of things. That God has sent us out to work with people and to help people so that they can become trees that bear much fruit. So he says that the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, why has he done all of these things? He explains why in the next three phrases. That they might be called trees of righteousness. That's the purpose of everything he says that's going to be done and is being done. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And so it is that we preach the Word of God and we work with people and you work with people. And the intent and purpose of all this working and laboring that we do one with another. Did you know that you help me? Do you think other people help you to bear fruit? Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that you find strength and encouragement and nourishment from other people? Do you believe that you by yourself, that you just you and the Lord calls you and help you to bring forth fruit? Or do you believe that God uses other people to help you bring forth fruit in your life? I believe I find great sources of strength and encouragement in every one of your lives. You add to my ability to be a tree of righteousness. That's a great blessing to understand that one of the purposes and functions that we have for each other is to help each other be called. I want you to notice this. He said, all this work is being done. The expression is that they might be called trees of righteousness. Now, what is it that causes someone to be called a tree of righteousness? It's the same thing that causes people to be called Christians. What is it that causes people to be called Christians? It's when they are living like Jesus would have them to live. What is it that causes people to be called trees of righteousness? It's when righteousness is abounding in their lives. And so it is that God says, the Isaiah says here, he says, the Lord has anointed me to go and to preach and to do all of these things so that the people that I work with, so that they can be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That God might be glorified. So we need to be trees of righteousness. Now, let me hasten to say that sometimes we're the exact opposite of trees of righteousness. You know that sometimes instead of being trees of righteousness, sometimes we're trees of unrighteousness. There were people that went out to be baptized by John the Baptist. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 3, and you'll find an occasion here where when people went to hear John the Baptist and they went out to be baptized by John the Baptist, there were some of those people that John baptized. The people that John baptized were those that were trees of righteousness. The only ones, listen carefully, the only ones that were fit candidates for water baptism were those that had brought forth, what's the next word? Brought forth what? They had brought forth fruit, meat for repentance. They were trees of righteousness. They had brought forth good fruit in their lives. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, the Word of God tells us not only about those that had brought forth fruit that were trees of righteousness and that John baptized them, but then the Word of God says in verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now listen to what he says in verse 10. Look at verse 10. John the Baptist says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. What is John the Baptist saying about these individuals? He says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. I want you to tell me why in the world it is that the axe would be laid not just to the tree, but all the way down to the root of the trees. Listen, brethren, when people are bringing forth corrupt fruit and evil fruit, it's time for them to be cut down. And the Word of God says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What kind of feeling should that cause us? Should that cause fear in the minds and hearts of God's people? I believe that it should. He's saying that sometimes trees that have the ability to bring forth good fruit, they're given everything they need to bring forth good fruit, and yet they don't bring forth good fruit, they bring forth evil fruit. And so John the Baptist tells these people, he says, now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. I told an individual within the past couple of weeks, I said, unless you change the direction that you're going, unless you make a major change in your life, I said, God's going to cut you off, and you're going to know what it is to live in a hell here on this earth. He told me this past week, crying, he said, I'm afraid that God has cut me off, and I'm going to really experience what you said was going to happen in my life. Listen, brethren, God does water His trees. God fertilizes His trees. They are trees that have the ability to bring forth fruit. If you are born of the Spirit of God, if you're a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, God sends rain and water, and He gives you fertilizer, and He gives you everything you need to bring forth fruit. And if you don't bring forth fruit, you can never blame God for a lack of fruit being in your life. It is always the fault of the people of God when they don't bring forth fruit. God made that extremely plain. I'm not going to turn there and read that, but I encourage you to go home and read Isaiah chapter 5. If you go home and read Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 7, you'll find in that passage of Scripture that God says, I had planted a vineyard. I had done everything that was necessary for this vineyard to bring forth good grapes. And I fertilized it, I did everything that was necessary, I got rid of all the vines, I got rid of all the rocks, and everything was perfect for this vineyard, and I looked for it to bring forth good grapes, and behold, it brought forth wild grapes. Listen, brethren, God knew all about what He had done for His people. They were His people. They were Israel in that passage of Scripture. They were children of God that had the ability. They were trees. And they were trees of righteousness, but they weren't bringing forth righteousness in their lives. Instead of them bringing forth fruit to the honor and glory of God, they were bringing forth evil fruit. And so the axe, I want you to always remember what happens when God's people are not doing what they ought to do. When they're not bringing forth fruit, what will happen? Who brings the axe, by the way? Who brings the axe? God does. That's exactly right. Now, this is not church discipline. This is something much more serious. Church discipline is serious. But this is something more serious than church discipline. This is when God cuts one of His people off and they're cast into a fire by God Himself. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. Look in your Bibles, please, at Luke chapter 13. I want you to see if you go back and study that passage in Isaiah chapter 61, I want you to see that God anoints His people and they are sent forth just like Jesus Christ came into this earth. Jesus Christ was sent forth and He was sent forth to do everything that Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3, Jesus did everything that Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3 says that God would send His people forth to do. Jesus is the perfect example, but He has sent all of us forth to do that same thing. Why does God have you to be working with other people? It's so that they can be what? Now listen. I misquoted it when I said that earlier. Not so they can be trees of righteousness, but so they can be what? Well, fruit bearing is true. Everything you're saying is true, but... Yeah, that's what I wanted. The Scripture there in Isaiah 61 says, so that they can be called trees of righteousness. That is, not that they're going to call themselves trees of righteousness, but that other people will look at your life and that you will be called a tree of righteousness to the honor and glory of God. Brother Rich stated earlier that he wanted the people of God to not follow the traditions of men, but just to follow God and do what God would have us to do. If you and I do what God would have us to do, we will be called what? Trees of righteousness, because we're going to be bringing forth godly things in our lives instead of traditions of men, and we'll be doing what God would have us to do, and we will be called trees of righteousness. We'll be called the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. Now look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. And I believe with all of my heart, brethren, I know everyone in this building tonight, and I believe that every one of you are trees that have the ability to bring forth fruit, okay? I don't believe there's anybody here that is not a tree planted by God, given the ability and power to bring forth fruit. And I want to work with you, and I want you to work with me, and I want all of us to work with each other so that we can do everything that's described in Isaiah chapter 61 to the intent and purpose that we would be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God would be glorified. Not that we would be glorified, but that God would be glorified. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 beginning in verse 6. The Word of God says, He, and that is Jesus, Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, and by the way, who do you think, is this the owner of the vineyard or the dresser of the vineyard? You got two different people here. Do you follow that? He said to the dresser of the vineyard, this is like a landlord that owns all this land, and he has all these different vineyards, and he has a particular vineyard that he has a dresser of that vineyard, and he says to the dresser of that vineyard, in verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? What is the landlord saying? What is the owner of this vineyard saying? He's saying, cut this tree down. It's of no value because I've come here for 3 years seeking fruit on this tree and I have found none. I want you to listen to the response of the dresser of the vineyard in verse 8. Verse 8 says, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Now let me tell you what I think. I think the dresser of the vineyard had been negligent here. See, what I want you to understand from Isaiah chapter 61 is not just that you see these trees of righteousness, but that you see that all of us are to be doing the work with the people of God. I don't want a single one of God's children to be cut down and cast into the fire. Every time that I see one going astray, I weep and I cry because I wonder what more could I have done to help that individual? What could I have done? What could I have said? Could I have been harsher? Could I have been gentler? Could I have been more? Could I have done more? Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's the main thing I want you, two main things I want you to say. One is, all of us need to be working with one another. The second thing is, all of us need to be bearing fruit. We need to be called trees of righteousness, but we need to be working with others so that they would be called trees of righteousness. So the dresser of this vineyard says in verse 8, let me dig up, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to dig about it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to do everything I can to help it bring forth fruit. And then he says in verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Listen, brethren, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ that everybody you know that's not bringing forth fruit, everybody that you can't look at them and say, now, I call that person, I declare, I believe that's a tree of righteousness. If you can't call them a tree of righteousness, I beg you to work with them and pray with them and pray for them and do everything you can to help them, that they would be called trees of righteousness. We ought not to ever rejoice when someone is cut down. We ought to be fearful that we too would be cut down and cast into the fire. Let me work one more year, Lord. Let me work one more year. Let me do everything I can one more time. And if it produces fruit, well, good. And if not, then I'll cut it down. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say, then I'll cut it down. He says, and if it doesn't bring forth fruit, then thou shalt cut it down. You see, it's the Lord that does the cutting that we're talking about here. This is where God cuts down His people. They don't bear fruit. Go with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 1. Let's go to some good trees now, some trees of righteousness. In Psalm 1, the first psalm, the Word of God talks about some trees of righteousness here. It identifies the things that one who is a child of God does that results in that individual being called a tree of righteousness. There are things that you can do that I would tell you, you keep doing those things and you're going to be cut down. There are other things that if you do, I can tell you that if you keep doing those things, you're going to be called a tree of righteousness. There are some things that if you do those things, it will result in fruit abounding in your life. And there are other things that you do, if you do those things, it will result in evil fruit, wild fruit coming forth in your life. In Psalm 1, now listen to what the Word of God describes. He's going to talk about a good tree. He's going to talk about a tree of righteousness. But I want you to listen to the characteristics and the thing that this man does in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful." Let me tell you something, brethren. Evil company will corrupt good manners. You get around the wrong kind of people, you look at the wrong kind of things, you read the wrong kind of material, and you are certainly going to not bring forth good fruit. It is impossible to be around the wrong kinds of people and read the wrong kinds of material and look at the wrong kinds of things and bring forth anything other than evil fruit. It will happen. You cannot be around the ungodly. You cannot walk with them. You can't have fellowship with them and bear good fruit. You will always bring forth evil fruit. But those who refuse to do those kinds of things, those who fill their lives with godly things rather than ungodly, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you love the law of God? Do you love the Word of God? Isn't it amazing to see the difference of people's reaction to the Word of God? There are some people that just love the Word of God. They want to read and study the Word of God. They love the Word of God. They love the laws of God. They love everything about the Word of God. I have some people. Brother Jerry had a neighbor one time that he told me the only part of God's Word that I like to hear are the good things. And he would call me quite regularly and say, tell me just some good things from God's Word. He said, just tell me something to make me feel good. Well, brethren, sometimes you don't need something to make you feel good when you're not walking in the right way. Children don't always need to feel good about themselves. When they're not doing something right, you ought not to make them feel good about what they're doing that's wrong. They need to be told of the serious consequences of doing that that's wrong. But there are those that delight in the law of the Lord. That's what verse 2 says. They won't be around certain individuals. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about the laws of God and the Word of God. Now verse 3 says, this individual that's described in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, the Scripture then says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's going to be called the tree of righteousness. He's going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Brethren, it's wonderful to see some of the old saints that for years and years they continue to bring forth good fruit in their lives. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you know some of the old saints? I'm talking about they're still alive today and they're still just bringing forth fruit in their old age. They're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Did you know that every single child of God that's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, they meet the characteristics of Psalm 1, 1 and 2, and that results in them being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Are there things that you can do so that you can be a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you'll bring forth your fruit in its season. What about the ungodly? They're not so. They're not so. They're not trees of righteousness. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They go this way and that. They're hot, they're cold. They bring forth a little fruit, then it withers. But there's no consistency in the lives of God's people that don't meet the characteristics of verses 1 and 2. But you find anybody that follows what verses 1 and 2 says, and they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're going to be constant. They're going to be steadfast. They're going to be unmovable. They're going to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to see the saints of God like that? You know, some of these, Sister Dorothy, she's a dear saint of God to me. You know, I was coming out of, I don't remember who I was with, but I was with somebody this week, and we were going into a business or something, and this elderly lady was coming out, and she was having trouble just getting the door open, and so he held the first door open for her, and I held the second door open, and as she was coming out, her hair, white hair, just so pretty, like Sister Dorothy's beautiful white hair, and I said, "Your hair is beautiful." She said, "Well, if you'll live right when you get old like I am, your hair will be pretty too." But I'll tell you, brethren, I don't know who that lady was, never had seen her before. But I'm telling you, she was a tree of righteousness. I can tell from the countenance on her face and the Spirit of God that radiated from her life, that was a tree of righteousness. I've never watched her do anything, never been around her very much other than less than 1 minute. But that's clearly a tree of righteousness. Isn't it good that sometimes people will say, "Now there is a tree of righteousness." There are some of you in this congregation that your reputation is such that you are called by other people. You are called a tree of righteousness. I was visiting with a family this past week that the man is down with a real bad hip. And he and his family are having a lot of difficult problems. And I was there just to pray for them and to visit with them in the midst of all of their affliction. And I said, "I want you to come go to worship with us one Sunday." They have a woman pastor now, and she's leaving. And I said, "I just want you to come worship with us just one Sunday." And you know what he said? You know what the man said? He said, "Does brother so-and-so still go there?" And I said, "Yes, he does." He said, "I'm going to try to come." Now, why would that man say, "Does brother so-and-so still go there?" Why was that important to him? Because he said, "Now that is a man of God." Now when he said, "Now that's a man of God," when he said that about this individual member of the church here, when he said, "Now that's a man of God," you know what he was saying? That's a tree of righteousness. He was called a Christian. He was called a man of God. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that's bringing forth fruit. Now, did he do it by himself? Did he do it by himself? Who's the number one that, first of all, that planted him? Who's the one that gave him life? Who is the one that gave him everything he needs within his makeup to be able to bring forth fruit? God is. Who is the one that's doing the watering? Who is the one that is sending other laborers to water? You know, Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but what? But God gave the increase. Sometimes you'll do this now. Sometimes you'll plant. I'm talking about you'll work with a plant, and you'll work and work and work with it night and day, and you'll dig it and dung it and feed it and water it, and you do everything you can. And that plant's just finally not going to be any good. I've told you about the apple trees and some grape bushes that I planted and grapevines. And I'm just not a very good gardener. I just don't do good with those plants. But flowers I seem to do real good with. I can plant flowers and they just grow and prosper. And I thank the Lord for that. But you know, I wouldn't trade all the flowers and the plants and the trees in the world for one child of God that's bringing forth fruit that you can look and say, "Now that is a tree of righteousness." Go with me in closing to Psalm 92. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. We'll close with this passage of Scripture. But I want you to live to be old, and I want you to enjoy the blessings of God. But more important than you living to be old and enjoying the blessings of God is I want you to be a tree of righteousness. If you live to be old, I want you to be a tree that's still bringing forth fruit in your old age. You know when you can retire from serving the Lord? You know how old you get when you can retire? You know how old I'll be when I retire? Lord willing, I will never stop preaching the gospel as long as I live. Never. I hope that I don't have to. I want to preach just as long. I have no reason to live if I can't preach. When I was told 12 years ago, go home and sit down and do nothing, I told that doctor, I said, I'd rather die this coming Sunday trying to preach than to live 30 more years and not preach. There is no reason to live if we can't serve the Lord. Did you know that? Have no reason on this earth. You have no reason on this earth other than to be a tree of righteousness and be called a tree of righteousness and to be called the planting of the Lord and to glorify God with your life. Look now at Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Listen carefully to that last phrase. There is no unrighteousness in Him. What are we to be called? The trees of what? Righteousness. There's no unrighteousness in God. And we need to pray that God will help that there be no unrighteousness in us, but that we would be called the trees of righteousness. May God help us to live in such a way that that would happen is my prayer for Christ's sake.